Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Ground ball to the shortstop. Grabbed by Peraza. Backhand flipping the ground to second. On the first double play by 15 feet.
A beautiful play by Peraza. He goes to his left on one knee. Gets enough flip to Arouse, who bare hands it for the turn to first base. I guess he's not nervous at all.
And we all want to find out how Lou was able to get through a game actually broadcasting off a TV monitor. But we'll hold that off for a couple minutes. We finally got to see Workman actually occupy the role that they have for him. And, oh, my God, was that frightening. Now, you can't blame him because he got one outing, right? He got opportunity to pitch once.
Oh, you can blame him, Glenn.
In the first five games,
awful. You can blame him.
He was awful.
I've never seen a closer afraid to throw a fastball in my life. Like, I've never seen it. You got a two-run lead. A two-run lead. And Nimmo's leading off the ninth inning, and you threw him six straight curveballs. What were you afraid of? The two-run shot? He's leading off the inning. Like, I don't understand why. And Barnes comes in, and right away, first pitch, bomb by Cespedes. Yeah. And you're like, you know what? He don't want to throw his fastball
then
ever
then a line
again.
Drive base hit right after.
And Workman's out there in the ninth inning. He sees first pitch, fastball, home run. They're like, I don't want to throw my fastball either.
Yeah.
So it's curveball. I think eight of the first 10 pitches were curveballs. He threw two fastballs. One was to Conforto, and he froze him on a heater because why would you look fastball? Everything is a curveball.
Right?
Six
like curve
straight curveballs with
there.
A two-run lead, and you walk the leadoff hitter? How do you just not come with a fastball? I mean, hitting ain't easy. He could ground out. He could line out. He could pop up. You know what? If he goes yard, if he leaves the yard, you're still up one. Then you can flip all the curveballs you want. But you can't walk the leadoff guy with a two-run lead with six curveballs in a row?
These guys, this is game six, by the way. These guys they're not at midseason form. They don't have their bat speed up. Isn't that the rule? You have to go in there and challenge them with your best, and then you figure out if you're going to finesse or work around it. But like, what are they going in there? Like, is Brandon Workman, Keith Foulke with his changeup? Is that what we know him as, Lou?
You know what? if Foulke could throw his changeup, and he could be, but Foulke had that four seamer, he'd be able to dot it on the outer half.
Right.
Just there you go. First pitch, fastball outer half, strike one. Here we go. All right, 2-run lead.
Right.
Guess what? Nimmo's probably doing as a leadoff hitter, with a 2-run lead. In the ninth inning. Guess what he's probably doing with two, three, four behind you?
No, bunting.
Well, no, most likely. All right, let's see one.
Yeah.
Make him throw a strike. Let's see one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so he's sometimes in the two-run lead. I know game's a little bit different, but you can't. If you are afraid to throw your fastball, and if you are visualizing every time I throw it, it's going to leave the yard, you got serious problems. And sometimes I feel like he and Barnes can feel like that sometimes. They don't want to throw it. Two-run lead.
He didn't have a great feel for the curveball either. He really didn't. And so, and he pitched, how many pitches did he throw last night? Which you wonder.
It's almost 30, I think.
Is he available tonight?
Oh, yeah. Chance.
Out last night. So I've got to ask you, Jacob deGrom is so freaking good, Lou. He is just so good. How is it he doesn't win more games? You look at him over the last couple of years and you look at the wins and you say, shouldn't he be winning more games?
Yeah, listen, wins aren't what they are. They don't score for him. He should win more games. But he's won two Cy Youngs for that. He's just dominant. And last night he gave you a couple of gifts. I think last year he threw two wild pitches all year, and he threw two in an inning.
Yeah, he threw two last
And he gave you a gift, you know. But he is, he's fun to watch. I mean, he's special. That was a lot of fun to watch last night, you know, with him on the mound. But they got to him, and the reason why they got to him is because you got starting pitching. You know, Evaldi put up, he gave up one early but got out of it, and then put up zeros to match, gave this offense a chance to kind of, you know, chip away and eventually get to him 2-1, and you saw the way the game went. But, you know, starting pitching, you know, that's the key. That was the reverse lock of the year, wasn't it? I mean, DeGrom against Evaldi and the Red Sox, who lost four straight, you're sitting there saying, no chance the Mets lose that game.
Yeah. Right. And Evaldi has been, so far, better than advertised. Sure, he's not getting the swings and misses that everyone thought he'd be coming in with back in 2018, because I believe there's still this mystique about Evaldi, Lou, that because of that 6 1/3 inning relief performance that left his teammates crying after they lost to the Dodgers in game two, that he can just throw this magic 100-mile-an-hour fastball and just strike out anyone he wants at any given time. Actually, he's not a strikeout king. He can still bring the heat, but he's been accurate so far. He's been in control, and an Evaldi in control will seemingly always give the Red Sox a chance, and that's all you can ask for.
One thing, too, I mean, he's fastball, cutter, curveball, change, split, whatever you want to call it, but he's throwing his slider a lot more.
Yeah.
So it's like the cutter is 94 miles an hour. His slider's like 90, 91, and it's just a little bit bigger, and I don't know, I kind of like it just because I think he can keep guys off balance a little bit. Something moves, not just that slow curveball or a slower curveball. So I kind of like the balance he has, but, boy, I tell you, the first two starts, I had both of them, and you could tell when he loses it. I mean, I don't know how the hell he got out of that fifth inning last night, but he go, all of a sudden, next thing you know, he sees he's humping up and he's grunting and it's 94. And you're like, oh boy, better get somebody up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that ain't coming out 98, 94 with a grunt. Like, it's time. So he's, you know, it's early in the year. He gets up to that 80, low 80s pitch count or in that range. Like, he's gassed right now, and hopefully he can get up to 100, but he can't right now.
He's the only guy that gives you a chance to win right now. We'll see it with Perez tonight, but I don't have high hopes. I mean, he's the one guy that can give you a chance to win. You've seen it through the first run of the rotation. I don't know about you guys, but do you guys think one of these other guys in this rotation is going to raise his game to the next level, especially when you look at the schedule over the next week and a half?
Glenn, I'm very disappointed in your lack of faith in Zach Godley Saturday.
I mean, his last name is Godley.
Listen, hey, everybody's excited about him. He threw four good innings over the weekend. Okay. I mean, what do we have to hope for here?
Because it's a different story when you're doing something totally different.
Well, I would say, yeah, I mean, listen, we'll see. You're rolling in New York with Weber, Godley, and who knows who. So that one's going to be a struggle, but no, I'm curious to see these guys the second time through, the third time through, because, you know, I don't think Perez, Weber, I don't know, 14.5 ERA, Perez 7.2, he might be that. Who knows? But you can't, these guys, the problem is we said this the other day with Renicky, we don't know any of these guys. And they've all been claimed off of waivers. So you can't look at a guy like Osich or these other guys like Springs and everybody else and say, I saw him once, he sucks. You know, if you're Renicky, you're like, you can't do that. You got to give these guys more opportunity. Give them another shot. You got to see Perez 3 or 4 or 5 times. You got to see Weber 3 or 4 or 5 times before maybe you realize maybe what you have or what you don't have. And I get the whole 60-game season, you know, but I think it was Bloom this morning actually said it right. You know, you're 6 games in. So nothing has really changed when it comes to that. Like, you know, 162 or 60 games, you're still only 6 games in. So it's tough to judge guys after 6. I understand it's more urgency because there's only 60, but it's still only 6 games. This guy's struggling with the plate. That guy's hot. This guy's good in the mound. We know what it could look like after 20 or 30. Like, Peraza and Pilar's raking right now. Pilar could end up hitting 200 at the end of the year. Who knows? So you got to stick with them a little bit. You got to see what they can do, and you hope they kind of miss some bats here and get some length.
All right, so the one point we made with the Marlins when they were testing positive, and what is it, up to 19 now or whatever, we said, what happens when another team gets hit with it? Well, the Phillies have got hit with it.
They got a little prick.
Not a player yet, but they had the visiting clubhouse guy tested positive, and one of the coaches have tested positive. But they're shutting down the Phillies. So the Phillies have not played all week, and they're not going to play this weekend. They had a doubleheader scheduled for Saturday, single game on Sunday. The earliest they could play would be Monday in New York. They're scheduled to play the Yankees on Monday. But they have shelved them. So if this keeps on happening, though, guys, what are we going to do? Just shelf a team for a week? Do they make up those games? What do we do? Just eliminate those games? Forget about them?
Well, the Marlins caused this. And again, you got a coach and a home clubhouse attendant. None of the players, you know, are positive. This is being overly cautious, right? Because of the window in which it could show up. You know, like, great, you know, you just played the Marlins, they had 18 players, you test on Monday, you test on Tuesday, everybody's negative, everyone's good, right? Well, not really. I think we know enough about it now that not really. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden Friday you could get it, Sunday you could get it. So I understand they're being overly cautious with both of these two teams right now. And, you know, if the Phillies break out with another 16, you know, you might have some problems. But I think right now, just being overly cautious.
In this piece by The Athletic called Elusive Details, Inconsistent Protocols, Why MLB Didn't Stop Marlins Phillies, an epidemiologist spoke under condition of anonymity and told The Athletic he's concerned by how baseball has handled the Marlins outbreak and the continued issues stemming from Sunday's game being played at Citizens Bank. A seeming lack of communication or miscommunication among teams and MLB's protocols raise serious questions about how communication should be handled for similar situations. He goes on to say, there has to be some medical intervention, he quotes. There has to be someone who can say, this is what we have. We need to stop it here. Basically, Glenn, Lou, what he's saying is, not only do these games need to be canceled, maybe we need to power down MLB for 10 or 14 days so we can flush the COVID out of the system already only one-tenth of the way into the season because a couple guys on an absolutely going-nowhere team hit up a strip club.
Yeah, I think that's an overreaction.
I think this guy, you know, I understand that he's the medical expert, but he's, you know, let everybody reset. You don't have to worry if the Marlins want to play 45 games. Let everybody else reset. So I don't think you need to stop the entire game. It is going to be a unique season. At the end of the year, some teams will play 60. Some teams might play 48, 52, you know, whatever it is. It's what can you do? But you got to continue it on. Be cautious with the Phillies. And that's it. Shut the Marlins down. I mean, the Marlins got their own issues going on right now.
They're the NL East leading Marlins at 2-1 right now.
They could make the playoffs if the season ends.
For some reason, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
667, right? You know, win percentage, they might win it.
But I would say this, Fitzy. You tell the players not to go out, right? And if they go out, what the hell do you do? So, you know, the doctors can come in and say all they want. They're setting the protocol. They're setting up the rules. They're saying you can't go out. You need to stay at the ballpark. You need to go home. You need to come back. They're doing all of that, but you've got, you know, human beings. And once they break that barrier, what the hell are you supposed to do? I mean, Dr. Fauci today is now urging that people should wear goggles. Goggles. This is a new one.
I can't wait to walk into, like, you know, the local Shaw's and see the people walking around in swimming goggles.
How about,
you know what I mean? Just like the swimming goggles.
How like about Randy just
a,
Quaid?
How about just a picture? Yeah, just a picture National of Lou, football. And it's like, okay, is Lou Merlone grocery shopping, diving, or playing paintball? We'll find out on the other side.
I'm gonna do. I'm gonna wear my mask. I'm gonna take my kids' goggles, and I'm gonna just show up now. Not just like the ones with just the eyeball ones. Right. I want the big ones.
Full mask.
Full mask.
Yeah.
Full mask. Mask and ready to go.
Just like maybe a camo gator and then the big goggles. It'll totally look like you're doing like an extreme paintball.
You know what? Don't even laugh. I might bring the snorkel and the fins. I might wear
look,
my feet.
It's a better look.
You know what I mean?
It's a
Why
better
not?
Look. But shutting it down, Fitzy, for 10 or 15 days so we let it go away, it's not going away. So this keeps on coming back.
I've been
what
told
are we talking
as much.
About?
I know. I wouldn't shut it down either. This is just an epidemiologist because it's their job. It's our job to talk about it and share an opinion and hope for the best because Lord knows we don't want to go another 4 months without live sports. And we're only a tenth of the way through the season. It's their job to always consider the worst case scenario. And he's just sharing under conditions of anonymity what he believes would be the best protocol. This is not optimal necessarily to have to power through the season, but what would be more optimal, shall we say, is people being smart or not being stupid right. And being honest about where they go and avoiding
but here's
that,
the thing.
That list.
Let's talk about that honesty because I think baseball is kind of like the guinea pigs for the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the league NFL is looking. They're not looking at the bubble in the NBA. They're not looking at the hub cities in the NHL. They're looking at MLB and how to handle it.
Yep.
And maybe they'll learn from it. You're talking about being honest. Did you see the story down in Cincinnati with Mike Moustakas and I forget the other player. There was two players.
Mike Senzel.
So when I got to do this right now, too, because I'm doing a game. You got to fill out this survey. So they ask you if you have any of these symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of them, obviously, cough, fever, you know, chills, headache. But some of it, scratchy throat, loss of taste or smell, muscle aches or pains, runny nose, vomiting, diarrhea, you know, all of these things, chest pain, abdominal pain. And if you sit there and be honest, like these guys were, and they said, yeah, you know, I'm feeling this or I'm feeling that, they shut them down. They won't let him in the ballpark that day. And they've been testing negative the entire time. They kept him out of three games or four games. And they kept testing negative.
Mm-hmm.
And MLB wouldn't allow them to play because they came in one day. I mean, some of these, you know, muscle tightness, muscle fatigue. Do you
Are
feel fatigued,
athletes?
Tired? It's like, yeah, I'm a little tired. Or, you know, hell, maybe I went to that place, you know, the wings, they're on fire. So I got a little diarrhea right now. I got some stuff going on.
A lot of diarrhea.
And so do you think that those guys are going to be honest the next time?
No, guys are going to lie, Lou.
I have gluten intolerance.
They don't want to leave. Yeah. They're going to lie. And they're going to wait until it gets real bad. And then you're right. By that time, they've already infected half the team or all the team.
They feel good. They just got some diarrhea or their muscles hurt or they're fatigued or they got a headache or maybe they got a little sore throat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know it or not, but you go outside and it's 98 degrees. You hang out at the beach all day. You go home in air conditioning for 2 or 3 days. Sometimes you get a little sore throat, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and they won't let them play. So, as far as being honest, I could see a lot of the players like, how do you feel? I feel great. Let's go.
Yeah, I think it's going to be worse for football. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, Fitzy. So what happens when the normal flu hits in November or December and guys have to fill out these questionnaires, like Lou was saying, every single day and sit there and say,
That's what the NFL is going to see.
Yes.
Right? And that's why they're watching.
Yeah. Do we shut down half the team if guys are doing it? Think of how many times we've talked about this over the years where the Patriots have had the flu going through their locker room. We're going, uh-oh, there's going to be a problem for this game. Guys, how about the Marcus Cannon last year going out there and playing? And you know, he had the flu all week. And didn't Belichick come out and rave about how he gutted it out and all of this other stuff?
He'd be done for 14 days with
the flu. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to be able to gut it out anymore because they're not going to allow you to do it. Because you're going to have to be honest about it, even though you may not have COVID-19. All right, we'll get more into it coming up next at 617-779-7937. Joe Kelly appealing his 8-game suspension. Are people overplaying this Joe Kelly suspension right now? We get to it coming up next right here on OMF.
Mudhead Night, weeknights 6 to 10. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Sox and Mets wrap up the 2-game series tonight at Citi Field. The coverage starts at 6:10 on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEI Red Sox Radio Network. Joe Castiglione, Lou Maloney, and Will Fleming on the call. A 7:10 first pitch from New York City. Brad Stevens says Kemba Walker's minutes restriction of 15 to 20 minutes for tomorrow night against the Bucks might be a little bit ahead of schedule, so good news there for the Celtics. Brad said the team feels good about where Kemba is right now from a health perspective.
That's good. Push him in game one. That's good.
The NBA season resumes tonight. Jazz and Pelicans, 6:30 tip-off from Orlando. Then at 9 p.m., it's the Lakers and the Clippers. The Patriots have re-signed undrafted quarterback Brian Lewerke.
All right, fire up the duck boats. Lewerke's back, baby.
The upcoming Blue Jays and Phillies series has been postponed after a Phillies coach and clubhouse attendant have tested positive for COVID-19. Another Miami Marlin has tested positive as well. That's now 17 players and 2 coaches that have recently tested positive for the coronavirus. And finally, the college football season's premier opening game, Alabama versus USC at the Cowboys Stadium, has been canceled.
Uh-oh.
I'm Tyler Devitt. That's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Through this season, they don't want to have open season on the Astros. They don't want to have every single day folks wondering as they watch the games, you know, is a reliever going to throw in an Astro hitter? An 8-game suspension in a 60-game season is a big deal. And now, if you're a pitcher on the mound and the score is one-sided and you have an opportunity with one of those 2017 Astros standing in the box, you are going to think twice about taking your shots.
That's Buster Olney. 8-game suspension by Joe Kelly. He's appealing it right now. Open season on the Astros. And I'm sorry to Buster. Open season on the Astros. The one thing that Joe Kelly did wrong is you cannot throw at a guy's head, especially a 96-mile-per-hour fastball. Okay? Real bad things can happen when you do that, Joe. But people have got to understand that this was a major cheating scandal. There are no fans in the stands this year. So this season was supposed to be every time the Astros played a road game, people were going to get all over their ass. They were going to chant. They were going to bring signs to the ballpark. And the players were going to have to deal with hell on the road. And then when the game was over, they would have the media in their face asking them questions. Well, what do you think about the fans? All of that was supposed to be a nightmare. That's what everybody wanted because that's what the Astros deserved. It's been all taken away. So if you're the commissioner, you come down hard on Joe Kelly for throwing at Correa's head, okay? That's what you do. You don't sit there and tell me that, oh, we're going to cut down open season on the Astros because the public's not satisfied. The public's looking there and saying they did something really wrong and they never, ever paid the price for it.
Yeah, and now you're protecting them.
Yep.
And now you're protecting them. So, to me, I thought, as we said before, I hate throwing in the head area. I'll never agree to that. If you can't control your fastball, which Joe Kelly we know can't, then let somebody else do it. But, you know, you got to go rib cage to kneecap, you know, elbow, whatever, tricep to kneecap in that range, and that's it. If you can't do it, then don't do it. 8 games is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. It's the equivalent of 22 games. It should have been two. It should have been two. Maybe three, something, whatever. You want to give him 4 games, let him appeal it, drop it to 3, drop it to 2, whatever. And it should have been strictly for throwing the baseball in the head area,
right,
with intention, in my, you know, in their opinion, whatever. I know you can't get into intent, get in somebody's head, but still, I think you can. So that should have been it. That really should have been it. And then you're almost sending a message that's sort of saying, listen, he's getting suspended because he threw up near the head.
Mm-hmm.
And without saying it, if you drilled him in the ass, he wouldn't have got anything.
Nope.
Unless the bench is cleared and he got tossed and you got to do something. But he never got thrown out of the game.
Nope.
The bench is cleared because, you know, he's doing the pouty face, which I thought that part of it I actually enjoyed. I thought it was funny. And the yawn and everything else. But it should have been 2 games for throwing in the area of the head, and that's it.
Right. And how about the couple of STFUs he threw in right at the end there just to let, you know, just to let him know what the boss.
That's nothing wrong with that.
What business does Correa, by the way, have saying, like, throw me your fastball? Isn't it Joe Kelly's job? Like, because that's, you know, because the John Boy guy did that breakdown and sort of like did the lip reading. And there's Correa bitching about, like, oh, throw me your fastball. Like, that's not what this is about. It's Joe Kelly's job to get you out. So I thought Joe Kelly, as far as like coming in there and having an effective inning, intimidating the Astros and then throwing the good stuff and he had the heat, that's great. Put one in Bregman's back pocket.
Yeah.
Drill him right in the ass, and everyone's going
to
go, thank you. Thank you, Joe
and
Kelly.
I've
been waiting
you,
all offseason for someone to do that.
I think Astros hitters, if you drilled me in the ass, they would go to first base.
Yep.
And it would almost be an acknowledgement of, yeah, I get it. Right. Now, listen, I don't want to get hit, you know, every single game.
Here it comes.
But you know what? You put me in, you put it in a spot, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to first. You start putting it up in the head area, everyone's going to get pissed. Yeah, even though you think you might deserve it, or you think that I got a free shot at this guy, you go up near the head, no one's going to be happy with
it. So here's what I'm concerned with, and that is that the message is being lost in all of this. So this is Jess Mendoza, who's been reassigned now on ESPN. She was on Get Up this morning. And listen to what she said, because she believes that if Kelly didn't do one thing, then he would not have received the same type of punishment.
I think the intent was for Joe Kelly to hit Bregman. Knowing how wild Joe Kelly was, I think he wanted to hit him right in the butt, and he ended up missing over his head. I think it was the expression that he made after the Carlos Correa slider and then the strikeout. You know, him sticking out his tongue, just the going back and forth, the pickoffs to first. I think it was all of it in total. I think if he just plugs Alex Bregman one time, 3-0 pitch, you're done. I don't think we see the same repercussions.
She's crazy. The taunting should have had nothing to do with it. The pickoff that he kept on throwing over to first base should have had nothing to do with it. The commissioner should have come out and said, and all he had to do was say, nobody can throw it in another player's head. Can't happen in our sport. Well, it's a safety issue.
She saved herself at the end, you know, meaning if you just plunked Bregman wherever, like we're talking about, not in the head, then none of this would have happened. Can't go like the taunting part of it.
Well, that's
the taunting, I guess, caused the benches to clear.
Okay.
But nobody got in anybody's face. Nobody got close to one another. There were no punches thrown. People walked out into the field. You can't suspend people 8 games because another team decides to walk out in the field and there's no fight. They just walk out in the field. I mean, we've seen that many times. So you can't do that. The throwover thing is interesting because that is a sneaky good move.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sneaky good move, though. I mean, I don't know if he was doing it or not, but Bregman's over there, so he just spins and fires and throws it as hard as he can at Bregman. You know what I mean? Like, just, and if the first baseman can't reach it, you know, like, so he's going to dive back. I know what my spot is. Mm-hmm. I'm about 3 feet off the bag. If I throw it right here into the dirt in this perfect spot, I can drill him in the leg again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's a nice sneaky move, but he never hit him.
Do you put that with Michael Brantley spiking Joe Kelly? Do you think that's just gamesmanship?
Well, I don't mind that because Brantley's coming after Bregman. He just threw a 3-0 heater over his head. Joe Kelly's covering the bag. The foot is in the middle of the bag, and he clipped his ankle. Well, you just spiked my guy.
Hey, sometimes
you just drilled my guy.
Oops, accidents happen, you know?
Yeah, sometimes when you do something and when somebody retaliates, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have spiked you if you didn't throw a 97-mile-an-hour heater over my teammate's head.
But in dealing with this, we talked about
it. But I like the pickoff. Sneaky move. Drill the guy.
Yeah, you're right.
Diving back in, just throw it right up his ass.
Especially if you pluck him.
Oh, jeez, I'm sorry. I threw it away. Oh, thank God you were there and you blocked it from going in the right field. Oh, thank God.
God, I'm so sorry.
But I think we all knew what was going to happen when the league came down in the Astros. We talked about it, Lou. We sat there and said, every team in the league is going to throw the ball at somebody in that lineup. Fans are going to be all over them everywhere they go. They're going to hear it. Well, guess what? None of that is happening. They don't have to deal with any of the repercussions from this because there are no fans. The media can't get in their face and talk about any of the stuff, ask them questions after the game. They're doing Zoom sessions with the manager right now. So they get away scot-free. That's what happens with the Astros, and that's where I think people are pissed off. So I don't think people mind Joe Kelly or anybody else throwing at the Astros right now, but not throwing at the head. You can't throw at the head. And if the commissioner had done that and left the door wide open for, okay, there might be some more retaliations. You may pluck a guy in the ass or in the hip or something like from here on. All right, so be it. He didn't do that. Buster Olney is sitting there saying he's given 8 games because he wants it to stop. You can't protect the Astros right now.
Yeah, you can't. And John Heyman tweeted this out.
Thank you.
Joe Kelly earned every bit of that 8-game suspension. I don't know why I'm reading it like Dale.
No, actually, a tweet with this much sanctimony and pious, you know, righteousness deserves to be read this way.
The ball was too close to Bregman's head. Kelly wasn't even on the 2017 Dodgers.
Stop it.
So, it's just Heyman, you know, whatever.
Yeah, every game, over the Astros,
every bit
the
of the 8-game suspension. So, John, you think he should be equivalent of 22 games for
a
missing a guy?
A seventh of his season?
I mean,
get out of
come
here.
On. That's ridiculous.
So you guys tell me, does this stop teams now from throwing at the Astros? People are still pissed off, right? Does it stop them?
No. If you got good location, you put it in his ass, fine.
Mm-hmm.
No big deal, right?
Well, So what does the commissioner do? How does he handle that?
Well, we'll see what happens. Who knows? I don't know. But I don't think somebody should be afraid of doing it again.
How he's handled everything else so far, terribly?
Yeah. So Rosenthal sends out a tweet talking about a suspension equivalent of 22 games. Marcus Stroman responded. He says, this makes zero sense, Ken. He wasn't even thrown out of the game. MLB is siding with and protecting a team that openly and knowingly cheated their way to a World Series. He doesn't deserve to be suspended at all. Hoping he wins his appeal. Looking forward to seeing you back out there, JK. So, I mean, he's definitely getting the support of everybody around the league. Now, I think some people would stand up and say, I don't like throwing around the head. But this is the tough part. It's this team is completely protected from the biggest cheating scandal, I'd say, of all time in baseball.
Since the Black Sox.
Since the Black Sox. But this one, yeah, the Black Sox, you're betting on games. I mean, you're right. But just banging a trash can, I mean, just all of it. They got caught red-handed. They're given immunity to tell the whole truth. And now the commissioner is protecting these guys from teams who should be pissed off, especially the Dodgers. The Yankees are another one. So it doesn't feel right. It doesn't seem right that Manfred's going out of his way to protect this baseball team when they don't deserve it.
Because he doesn't know how to handle this. He doesn't know how to spin this, and he doesn't know what to do at this point because he's let it get so far down the line. But, so now it's, oh, quick. You don't punish the kid, and all of a sudden, like, the bad behavior, one day you overreact as a parent. It's like, well, wait a second. Where was the warning shot?
But you don't understand. But here's the thing.
It's so bad.
The catch 22 is I understand the other side, too, because you can't be open game. You know what I mean? You can't just.
Every game can't turn into them being in a dunk tank.
I wish Joe Kelly hit him in the ass. That's what I wish happened, because then that would have been more interesting to see what happens. I'm not so sure anything would have. Then that would have been more interesting. But instead, he goes up by the head twice to two guys, and now all of a sudden the league overreacts.
So do you think now the eight games, this is Manfred's equivalent of standing up and saying to everyone, let it be known that no one else will throw at the Astros and I'm not going to tolerate this, and he's going to have to make an example out of Joe Kelly to the rest of the league? Why doesn't he actually just stand out in front of the league and say, we have a zero tolerance policy against throwing at the Astros for some sort of vendetta over 2017?
Well, I don't think he can do that, but what he should have done.
He's the commissioner. Why not?
What he should have done is he should have said it is a serious suspension of eight games or 22% of this season because he threw at somebody's head. So what you do is you make that the main focus of why you are giving such a severe penalty. Because I think you're hearing it, and we're reading it from a lot of these writers, that this is basically saying we're not going to allow open season on the Astros. Well, why not? Because the Astros right now are the beneficiary, I hate to say it, of coronavirus. They're not getting any of the penalty that they would normally get, which is getting harassed on the road. Think of what would happen with the Astros on the road everywhere they go this season, if there were fans. As opposed to
the trash cans would be everywhere.
Everywhere. Everywhere. They'd become a laughing stock.
That would have been glorious.
Right. People would, at every at bat, people would be chanting. All of that would happen. Signage, everything. They get none of that because we can't have fans in the stands. So the commissioner can't erase all of this. And he should have just really limited it to talking about throwing at the head. If he had done that, I don't think I would have had an issue with it. But Lou's right. You're hearing these writers right now basically saying, okay, we're not going to have open season on the why not? If next week somebody wants to throw at somebody's hip on the Astros, why not? You know, they still want to, you know, get them back for what they did.
The next team is the Yankees. I think the Dodgers and Yankees got serious beef. And there could be a pitcher on another team that was on the Dodgers or the Yankees that aren't too happy either.
The 2017 Astros have done the worst thing possible. They've made this Red Sox fan sympathize with the Yankees, and to me that is the ultimate crime in baseball.
Kind of interesting, Fitzy. Remember when Tom Brady wore a certain hat, or he had a hat in his locker, and people were up in arms about it? Remember that whole situation?
Yeah, there are a couple of controversial lids Brady's had in his day, yeah.
Yeah. So Tuukka Rask apparently wears a hat, and a member of the hockey media, very quick to jump on him. We'll get to it coming up next right here on OMF.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back to more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier. Bring it back. Will you even consider listening to anything else?
No.
OMF.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here in OMF, it's Ian today for Christian. Christian's off for the next 2 days. Long weekend. He likes these long weekends, the big fella. Just sits back and just relax to all of this. So this is a kind of a strange story, but nothing is really that strange these days. So Tuukka Rask does an interview on NBC Sports Network with Catherine Tappan, and he happens to wear a hat that says Boston Police on it. And then Matt Porter, who covers the team for the Bruins, just tweets out, and there is this, okay? And the same thing is done by Mark Lazarus. Tuukka Rask is wearing a Boston Police hat on NBC Sports Network right now. And what they're doing is they're attaching it to a statement that the Boston Bruin players made. Over the past several months, we've been trying to educate ourselves, learn more about racial injustice in our country and around the world. As we learn, we have decided to lock arms during the playing of the United States and Canadian anthems as a sign of solidarity with the black community. And goes on to talk about the action as solely intended to be a positive sign. So they're obviously supporting people out there who feel there's social injustice, and I guess that's a good thing. In the same respect, in an interview that was done, 2 days earlier, Tuukka Rask is being supportive of the Boston Police Department.
Oh, dare he.
Mm. And I'm sitting here, and when you see two reporters, this guy Matt Porter and Mark Lazarus, when you see them do it, you sit there and say, whoa, what's your agenda here? What's your political purpose here? Can they not support both? Can we not support both?
No.
Nope.
It's one or everything, apparently. Like you can't, like any reasonable human being understands that nobody supports an officer that murders or kills an unarmed man, no matter what he looks like. Nobody would support that. Nobody. You know, you got him under control. We all know what happened with George Floyd. Nobody supports that. But is it still okay to support the other guys, the other police force? I know a lot of people in the police force that I support, a lot of them. You know, a lot of people that I know that I like, that I want them to keep doing their job each out there each and every day. But can't you understand that? Can't you support both? I don't understand it at all, as a matter of fact. Like, there's this guy's wearing a Boston Police hat, and people are like, Tuukka, I'm so disappointed in you. So it was disappointed in you. Yeah. Support what? Support, like, they think that you support murderers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, the police are the bad guys now. I mean, we're supposed to defund them entirely, break up all police because they're evil. They're the ones who are suppressing us. They're the ones that are coming after us. It's so short-sighted just because there's a certain sector of your law enforcement that treat people poorly, that have been engaged in racist activities, that have been suppressing people. It's horrifying. It's unthinkable, Lou, because we can't even possibly wrap our minds around that. But to then just think all police are villainous, and that Tuukka supporting a friend or just believing in the need or want to support your local law enforcement, that makes Tuukka the villain now? How far gone are we? How much of our minds collectively have we lost, Glenn?
We've lost all
there's
of
no
our
in between.
Minds. We've lost right. all of our minds.
But that's
there's
it. No, it has
no, we're not solving
there's no
anything.
Balance. There's no nothing.
It's we're just, not solving anything, guys.
Nothing.
That's the problem. You know, we're separating. We're getting to opposite sides. We're getting in the bunker, and we're not getting anywhere. So Brad Marchand and these reporters obviously are giving you their political views. That's what they're doing. Don't tell me they're sitting there. I love this. Oh, maybe the reporter was just pointing out that he was wearing the hat. No, mm-hmm. they were tying it in with a statement by the Bruins players about how they were going to lock arms during the anthem. Come on.
Right.
They're tying it in, and they're giving you their political views. So Brad Marchand gets asked about this situation during a Zoom call.
Having the whole process put out of context, Toops was given a hat by a friend that he wore in an interview prior to the statement being released, and that's okay for him to support a friend and to wear a hat. It doesn't change the fact that we all stand united against trying to end racism and being part of that solution. And Toops is part of that. You know, I responded to that because I felt that we want to be part of the solution. And in doing that, with what Matt was trying to do was create a buzz, and we feel like Tuca has a big platform, and for him to bring negative attention to him, you know, that can deter Tukes for wanting to be part of this. What Matt did was he tried to create a buzz to affect himself positively and get more followers and get more attention and get more likes when it's hurting what we're trying to move forward with.
Yep, that's exactly right.
Right. Mm-hmm. I applaud Tuca because what he's doing is he's part of the statement with the Bruins players. He's not reneging on that. He's not saying he's not part of that. He's part of it. And he's also saying he's supporting what he believes are the good cops. That's what he's doing. Mm-hmm. What is wrong with that? I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to solve this problem. Instead, you either have to be for one or the other. Go pick your side and go into your little hole.
You know, I like what? It. He said, actually, Porter, you were part of the problem.
Yep.
Oh, I
he
love
is
that
part
deleted
of the
tweet.
Yeah. He is.
I'm sorry that he had to delete the tweet. Yep. I'm a bigger Marchand fan I am at this particular moment in time than ever before. And two things immediately jumped to mind. One, hooray, this will play right into the whole Boston is the most racist city in all of sports. Boston is such a racist city. Look at them wearing police hats up there and not supporting the BLM movement. And two, now I understand why Tom Brady's afraid to say anything. Now I get it. You know what? Why would you want to support or say anything? We already knew that, not just with the Yankees hat, obviously, but with the MAGA hat in his locker and the crap storm that swirled up 5 years ago. But when people point to him and Jarvis Landry calls him out and says, we need you, Tom Brady, if you say anything that people in the public eye or in the sphere of your fandom don't agree with, you're a villain. You're a villain to them, and you're wrong, and you need to be canceled. I guess we need to cancel Tuca before the playoffs, Glenn.
God, please. This cold cancer. Cancel culture is ridiculous right now, and that's what we're doing right now. We're
can Tuca at least give up too easy in the first period before I want to cancel him?
Yeah. Now, there may become a time here in the playoffs where people may cancel, and that may happen. But this is ridiculous.
Has he responded yet? Like, is he pulled?
I haven't seen anything.
Remember the guy out who covers the San Francisco Giants took that picture of just fat Pablo Sandoval and said, oh, he's got good carry, but he just took it just knowing that everyone's going to make fun of it, and then tried to shame everybody for making fun of Pablo Sandoval being fat. You know, and you know why he put that picture out there. Mm-hmm. So everybody could laugh at Pablo Sandoval because he's fat.
Yep. Blue fat lives matter.
And then he just started shaming everyone. How dare you? He's a human being. It's like, dude, you're an idiot. You put it out there for a reason. You got some negative attention. So now I'm wondering, because that Porter hasn't apparently come back yet and said, I didn't mean anything by that. It's sad that you people took it that way. I'm waiting for that tweet. Waiting for that one.
Come on. Did he really?
No. I'm just saying. I'm waiting for it. I'm waiting for it because that's the play. Right. That's what you do.
Just like
everybody else.
It was amazing when you see two writers that are sitting there and they're attaching the statement from the Bruins players, who are talking about trying to do something, as Brad Marchand just said, about the racial injustice. And just because Tuukka Rask is wearing a hat, oh, he's not part of it. Oh, I don't know. Maybe a little Tim Thomas in him. Maybe it's, you know, Bruins goaltenders. I don't know. You know, he's against the crowd. I mean, it's ridiculous now. It's ridiculous. What did Tuukka Rask say? If Tuukka Rask had said something that was volatile or wild or crazy, that's one thing. He wore a Boston police hat on TV.
Yeah.
That's it.
Bastard.
It's amazing to me.
Get rid of them.
Let's go to some of these phone calls. Here's Jay in Providence. Hello, Jay.
Hey, guys. I just want to say that, first of all, I love the show. I love listening to you guys. I wanted to go back real quick to talking about the Astros and the hitting them situation. I don't think that it's fair to say that guys should hit them or, like, it's acceptable because, I mean, you got to look at a guy like even Pedroia. He had a career-ending injury from a dirty play. It basically ended his career. So, I mean, I don't think something like that is necessary. And you know, I'm a big Joe Kelly fan, but I don't think, I mean, the 8-game suspension is fine with me. You know what I mean?
Why is it fine with you? Why is 8? You don't think it should have been less than 8? You think 8's good, like the equivalent of 22 games for not hitting anybody?
I mean,
and not getting thrown out of the game?
I mean, he did go for his head.
Yeah. No, listen, I
think 8 games, I don't think that's a tragedy.
So what if you put it, what if
you got to think about it like something?
No, 8 games is bad. 8 games is really bad. What if you put it in his hip?
If he put it in his hip, all right, then maybe a 2-game suspension.
Why?
For a 60-game season, I can understand. I mean, cuz you know it's all stemming from that situation. And you got to understand that some of these guys, they got caught up in the situation. It's not like all of them came up with this plan. They didn't come up with it together. If you guys at this show are cheating on ratings, you know, you're not going to be the one guy that says, oh, let's not do this. Or, you know, for example, I'm black. I grew up in a black community. To go back to the police situation, if, you know, the black community has historically had a bad rap with the cops or whatever, and even if there's some people in the community that believe that we should have good relationships with the cops, I'm not going to be the one guy to come and say, let's do this, because then I'm going to be the outsider.
All right, well, listen, every single one of them.
And anyone who knew and didn't say anything about it, just as guilty.
But then Correa came out, you know, that sitting down with you know, Ken Rosenthal for like 10 or 15 minutes and, you know, started yelling back at Clay Bellinger. So, I mean, I don't blame the Dodgers at all for wanting to hit a guy. You know, I just think that you should do it right. That's all. And if you can't, then you shouldn't. And obviously Joe Kelly doesn't know how to hit a guy.
But see, that's what's amazing to me. People are not focusing in on the one thing he did wrong was he threw at a guy's head. So if the commissioner wants to come out and give a severe penalty of 8-game suspension simply because you're throwing at a guy's head, okay. But that's not what they did, and that's not the way it's being presented. And you're already hearing the commissioner wants to take away this open season on the Astros. I'm not sure that's fair. I'm not sure the public is going to be satisfied with any of that right now. The Astros are going to get away with an awful lot here if they don't have to face any of this. It's amazing to me. Ron's in Medford. Ron's in Medford. Next up here on EEI. Hi, Ron.
How you doing, fellas?
Good, Ron.
Listen, I'll tell you. I want to hear Glenn and Lou. I'm waiting for somebody to put the big boy pants on and actually have some balls.
Oh boy!
You know what kills me the most about this? Look, let's talk facts. I don't know why facts are always misconstrued as racism. Number one, African Americans unfortunately commit a disproportionate amount of crime in this country. Number one. Number two, African American males that make up 6% of the population commit 50% of the homicides. That is staggering, okay. And I believe it's because economically that they're constrained.
Okay, that might be, Ron, time out. That may be. We're talking about the Tuukka Rask situation, though. So what did Tuukka Rask do wrong here?
I'm leading into that. Look, Tuukka Rask can be supportive of the police as long as he's sympathetic to what happened to George Floyd, which was an abomination.
Well, I think he is.
In New York was even worse.
Ron, I think he is.
When did he say he wasn't?
Right, he's part of the statement with the Boston Bruins players.
Right.
No, I'm not saying he didn't. I know you're saying that people are taking it that way. I don't take it that way at all.
Well, he wasn't wearing
a
T-shirt.
Tuukka Rask.
Ron, he wasn't wearing a T-shirt with a Shepherd Fairey picture of George Floyd that said, like, clown or something on it. I mean, like, he's just basically supporting the police because he, at least the local police who have probably done right by Tuukka, because he feels as though they're getting unjustly judged in the face of what's gone on post George Floyd, which we can all agree is truly maybe the greatest atrocity we've all witnessed this year in a year that's been hell for
all. I don't hear anybody challenging that.
Him.
Really?
Right. So I'm not against Tuukka. I think he did the right thing. He should support the police.
Okay, he's doing both. He's part of the Boston Bruins making a statement.
So again, he wore a hat, the Boston Police Department.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, show support for the Boston Police Department. I don't think he's shown support for the guy that killed George Floyd.
No.
You know what I mean? So it's just, it's, so we got this tweet from New York Times contributor, I don't know, Salim Nadim Valji. He tweets out, after the Boston Bruins goalie Tuukka Rask wore a Boston police cap during an interview on Tuesday, and the Bruins releasing a statement about racial equality, teammate Brad Marchand insulted a reporter for pointing out the conflict. Will Bruins reporters question Marchand and the team about it? So, all of a sudden...
Hop to it, Hags.
It's exposing... What it's doing is it's exposing...
But racial equality and supporting like the police department or supporting a friend of yours who's a police officer. So, again, this is someone that's like, you can't be for racial equality and support police officers. It is impossible for you to do. Right. Even though you support police officers and say, but I do not support those that shoot down and kill innocent, unarmed people, but you can support the other ones, but to this person, you can't do both. And that's where we have a serious problem.
Well, when two media members tweeted out there and they basically link it to the statement with the Boston Bruins players, and they write, Tuukka Rask is wearing a Boston police hat on NBC Sports Network right now. First of all, he was doing it, was it a day or 2 days earlier, guys, that he actually did the interview? 2 days, I believe, earlier than the statement came out. Okay? They're saying he's doing it right now and attaching it to that statement. What they're telling you is this hypocritical? Is this? That's what they're doing. They're playing a passive-aggressive game. And Matt Porter's doing the same thing. And there is this. That's what they're doing right now. So Marchand is just coming in defense of his teammate. That's what he's doing right now. All right, 617-779-7937. What did Tuukka do wrong here?
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.